Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Welcome to another segment of Center Stage. I'm Carrie Hines, your host. Today's show is originally going to be called The Life of a Stripper. And our guest was going to be Micah. We did the pre-interview. We did everything we were supposed to do with this particular guest. And she decided within this last 12 hours that she was no longer in the profession and was not going to do the show. That said, we were disappointed, but it's making this host examine some of the topics that she's doing along with some of the guests. I'm new to this, still in the learning curve, and deciding if there is a different direction in which maybe I want to take the show. I'm not comfortable with the fact that Some of the guests that I've chosen lately have decided at the last minute to bail. So it's something that I've been thinking about for a while in terms of what did I want this show to do in terms of what kind of effect we wanted to give to our listeners. And I think the direction that we're heading is shows in which we can affect the community in a positive way, not just sensationalizing type shows or topics that we think are necessarily always as popular as we want we know that our audience would like us to have. I think we're more interested in topics where people need to be pointed in the right direction, and maybe our show can broker people that are hurting with solutions to their problems. And I think that's the direction in which the show will be going in the future, and that's something that we're going to examine more closely. And so it's possibly the next couple of weeks we're going to take a hiatus and figure out how we can affect the community in that way. Today we're just going to play with a little poetry. I myself write a little bit. A lot of people that I know write a little bit. And hopefully today we're going to get them to talk to us and let us listen to some of the things that we do. If you're a poet and have some poetry you'd like to share with us today, we want to hear from you. The number is 347-850-8390. Again, the number to call in at is 347-850-8390. We're going to go to the phone lines now. 817-346, you're on the line.
I'm giving out my whole number.
How you doing?
Yeah, I'm giving out my whole phone number. I saw you trying to give them my whole phone number.
Trying to do that. No, I'm not. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Good. You got some poetry you're going to share with us today?
Yeah, but we need to talk about what you just talked about first.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Yes, because the thing is, what affects the community is the people in the community.
Mm.
So, and a lot of times, it's not the topics, it's just getting the people to participate in talking about whatever their present position or their present problems or the present solutions that they come up with is.
Mm.
So I'm saying, so finding ideal topics is really not the topic.
Okay. Am I talking to AJ Houston?
No, it's not me.
Okay, gotcha, it's not me. Okay. 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 Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead. So you think the direction that I'm thinking about going is not the correct direction?
No. I think the direction that you're in is a great direction. See, a lot of times, failure only lets us know that we're on the right track.
Ooh, I like that.
Because so often, you know, if you running and everything's going smooth, you need to look around because you're probably running in the wrong direction.
Well, that's probably true. I never thought about it that way. Okay, and you got to.
You know, so when people start bailing, they, you know, I'm saying, okay, the perfect example. I was discussing with my son. He was talking about Chris Brown the other day. You know, Chris Brown was doing Michael Jackson's "Man in the Mirror" song, right?
Right, and he started crying.
And Chris Brown, yeah, he dances like Michael. He sounds like Michael when he wants to.
Right.
So I was telling him in practice, Chris Brown did it perfectly.
Mm.
But when you get on the stage, you have to put all the emotions in what you're doing for people to see that you really know what it is that you're doing.
Wow.
And when he added those emotions to it on stage, what happened was he was no longer singing a Michael Jackson song. He was looking at the man in the mirror.
Oh. But some people didn't believe him. They thought he was faking.
Oh, but I understand. I'm saying we need all those opinions out there.
Yeah.
Because all those opinions only lead you to the right one when you actually search them.
This is true. You're a very deep person. I agree with that. I agree with you.
Oh, I appreciate that. But that's what I was telling my son. I say, what happened when Chris started singing the song? He was cool. He was moonwalking. He was doing it. But then he said, you know, I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And he thought about it. He said, man, how did I get here?
Mm.
How did I get here from being on top of the game? I was the top person at the time before all that hit.
Mm-hmm.
Had commercials, had everything. Everybody was jocking me. Everybody was chasing me. He said, now I'm looking at the man in the mirror, and I don't like what I see.
Mm.
But I'm the one that got me here. So internally, what it brings about is that change, because everybody has, you know, the ducks in their eyes for tears, and some people just don't want to let you know they cry.
Mm. That's true. That's true. So you think that I may be going in the right direction. I just may be bailing too soon, and I maybe should stay the course.
No, I think you are. Not maybe. I'm saying, see, we adding all these other words that don't mean nothing. The maybes and the kind of's and the probabilities, and those you need to just delete from the whole conversation.
Really? I'll do that. I will definitely consider that. I definitely will. Because, you know, the thing is, when you pre-interview people and you think you understand their story and you've done everything you're supposed to be doing, there's nothing else I can do until showtime, and then I have to hope that you show up. And that's just frustrating sometimes, you know, when you know you've done everything you're supposed to be doing, and we don't pay people to be on the show, so, you know, you can just hope they show. So that part was a little frustrating, but maybe I do need to go back and just examine, you know, things a little closer before I make a final decision.
See, but the thing to do is talk to two or three people on the same subject and say, I'm going to have y'all call in and probably give each one of y'all some time. Or if nobody else calls in, you will have the time.
I won't blame my producer for that. But, yeah, I agree with you. I tell my producer
saying,
the thing, and they disagree. But, okay, you're exactly right.
Something is definitely an approach that you can actually exact the method because it's, you know, because, see, people would talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
But talking to the masses is a whole different thing.
Oh, that's true.
Because I'm saying, just think, you know, in all those shows where they show the little craziest videos or the stupidest thing, stupidest criminals, you're sitting there laughing, but somebody knows that person.
That's true, too.
Somebody lived down the street from him. Somebody was his next-door neighbor. And he would hate to know that his next-door neighbor was sitting there listening to his crazy antics.
And you know what? I did not consider that. You're right. The sensitivity of the subject matter alone, that's true. That it's a possibility within a week's time, because we talked about this last week, it's a possibility that person decided within this last week, okay,
yeah,
maybe I don't want to put myself out there. And I didn't even consider that.
See, yeah, when it gets close to the day, maybe that's something that they're not proud of themselves doing
true.
And don't want other people. And then you say, other people might know me, might be listening.
This is true. I was just so caught up in the fact that the person had committed themselves and had given the confirmation. But even after that, sometimes you're right, people will look at things and say, well, okay, but I don't know if I want to do this even at the last minute. And I got to give some leeway for that. You're exactly right. I do accept that.
Strippers do put their clothes back on, so maybe she put her clothes back on and say, man, I'm too.
You know, it's just... Okay, I'm going to stop. I stand corrected. I'm going to leave that alone. So will you share some of your poetry with me? I'm very interested in hearing what you do.
Well, what kind you want to hear?
Well, listen, what kind you got?
I've been writing all my life.
Ooh.
I do creative writing classes with kids and youth. I do churches. I do rec centers. I hang out in the clubs. So me, I can walk with Jesus and the devil.
Ooh.
And
well,
we both in deep conversations.
What do people find, what do you like the most about it? Which one do you like the most? I guess I would want to know which one touches you the most because you wrote it, or you wrote them. So which one are you most excited about? I know I have my favorite, so I would be interested in, hearing your favorite. Oh, and you paused after that. Did that question catch you by surprise?
Next one will be my favorite poem.
Oh, I'm sorry. For some reason, we lost you for a second there. Go back and repeat. You were saying your favorite is what?
I say every poem I'm working on is my favorite poem.
Wow.
The next one I'm working on will be my favorite poem because it takes all of me to make that work. And I'm give you a little piece. It's not a poem, but I'm saying when I talk to people and do creative writing workshops, a lot of people have a tight concept.
Okay.
Write the poem and not want to grow into the ending. They want to force the ending to be. So you write down whatever you think, and when you read that poem, every time you get to that point, you're going to know that you didn't put the rest of you in that poem.
Okay.
You forced it to end.
So this one is
not
what you're saying.
No, I'm saying all my poems, everything I would recite to you is finished. That's why I asked you what you want.
Okay.
You want a love poem, you want a... Okay, I know what I'll do something since you started on the kind of... on the stripperless show. No.
Okay.
I don't have a stripper poem because, you know, I really can't... I feel like if I'm throwing dollars out, somebody need to be throwing dollars for my CD or for me to be on stage. I'm not stripping, but I bare my soul, so it's kind of the same thing.
You're funny.
Thank you.
Since you don't have something like about a stripper, then give me something close. Give me the
next. No, I'm gonna give you this because I was thinking. I said, okay, because I did a workshop with some youth not too long ago, and it was in an alternative school, and that's like the school before jail.
Oh.
You know, so this guy wanted to hear a poem about death and killing and murder, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, what I had. So I thought about a lot of times what you ask for is what you get, but if you don't think about what it is that you got, you don't know that you got what you asked for.
This is true.
Okay, so Tyler's poem is, what's Tyler's poem? Life and Candles. Life and Candles, okay. It says, put out the sun and let our days be lit by candlelight. So every time we lose our young, it will also affect our sight. See, someone once told me we can never get too far by walking, so I said keep talking and forget past days of struggle. I can see through the flickered glow of fallen souls there's holes in shoe leather left on bridges where color was the reason blood ran deep like rivers. Each time there's death on city streets, I shiver. But it's been said you can never get too far by walking. Maybe that's why Jesus walked on water. To show us terrain doesn't matter, we can still go further, keep walking. Let the flicker of candlelight shine bright like the sun we replaced. Mother's hearts are too heavy, no matter how long the wick, she's too sick, no, she would never again place a lift against cheek of sun's face. Lost in needless struggles for unowned blocks of concrete, those mean streets are running over our sons like bulldozers. Move over. Pay homage to this corner. Marked by wreaths of flowers and pictures you can no longer make out, for God cried and took his face and photographed home with him. Blow out one flame and watch how it makes the sky go dim, light a candle. Let it burn like skin removed by beetles and caskets buried too soon. Let the heaters be the sutures we use to stop the bleeding for families with open heart wounds. We can't remove our noses from faces. Death stench lingers thick like smog so tasted. How can you shine light on the value of life as it's wasted? There's not enough incense to make sense of this senselessness. Light a candle. Let it burn like the source of love everlasting. It may be too hard for you to grasp what I'm asking. You see, someone once told me we can never get too far by walking. But sometimes all we have left is that need to survive. If fear is your companion, just cover your eyes and keep walking. Let each light burn bright like the light of the sun. Each life we lose, flickered smiles of lost daughters and sons. When darkness covers this planet, maybe then we will see. Survival of the fittest should not be heralded as our country's new creed. Our children are candles and love is a flame. No matter the origin, each life should be valued the same. But how can we sit by as street corners bury our young? If it's bullets that kill, then what about the hand that carried the gun? What happened to the plan we scripted when the life first begun? No fathers, no teaching, no learning, no reaching, no laughing, no fun. We're mourners of corners, but we blame everybody but us. But taking our sun. So put out the sun and let our days be lit by candlelight. So every time we lose even one of our young, it will also affect our sight.
That is beautiful. Wow. That is beautiful.
Thank you.
I mean, seriously, it's deep, but it's beautiful at the same time. Wow. And you've been writing your whole life?
Yeah, I learned how to read. I learned to read when I was about 3,
because
my mother read to me Dr. Seuss every day.
Oh.
And she actually thought I could read when I was, because I would remember what was on every page of the book. When she turned it, I knew the exact number of words and what was on that page. So when I was quoting what was on that page, she thought I could read until I had the book upside down. She started making me write.
Wow. And so you do poetry where? I mean, do you do a slam contest or?
Yeah, I'm saying everywhere. I'm saying I was actually on 8 forward slam teams.
Really?
I was a member of 8 forward slam team 8 times.
Did you win?
And I performed. I was actually on the team. We went to nationals. We came in third. Highest, we were ranked third. That was the highest we were ranked at nationals. That was out of 85 teams around the nation.
Oh.
But we, you know, my friends are Dallas Slam teams. There's 2 Dallas Slam teams. I have friends all across the nation that, you know, from Cali to Maine to Florida to wherever. You know what I'm
really?
Saying? It's just an eclectic community of people that, that write real feelings. And the thing is when you go places, you find that there's people writing about the same thing you're writing about. They just sound a bit different.
See, I should have went first because after listening to you, I definitely don't want to follow you. Oh, my God.
But you want me to do a left one for you? I'll do a left one then.
Yeah, give me a left one.
Okay. Let me see which one I want to give you. Okay, I'll give you this one. It's something. And I'm going to usually preface any portrait that I do because if I have to, I didn't write it well and you don't understand what it is. But this one I like because the title is The Sign. And the thing is, I think we men are stupid.
Ooh.
I'm saying the most intelligent man is stupid because it's like our whole life's goal is to be in love with the woman we want to live our lives with. But instead of listening, we always look for signs. If I ask you something, you might say it a different way, and I'm looking like, she didn't really say yes like she meant yes. She said yes like she meant no. So we don't really take what you say. We take how you act and how you say it. So until we as men begin to learn that to listen and take exactly what you say for what you say and understand that that's all we got is what you say, we're still stupid. So the title of the poem is The Sign. So that's just the preface for the poem.
Okay.
But it says, I went to the ATM. I needed cash to keep circling the block, not to buy flowers on the right, but to purchase hugs from the guy across the street because some days, man, some days really are that bad. You know, we've all been there, new town, right through the wrong exit, couldn't promptly read the signs. And just think, maybe blown love, a goodbye kiss, a time or two, not for sure where things were headed. Couldn't read the signs, red light, green light. Games we used to play back in the day, it at least taught us something. But we can never forget, some games are just games, so don't read too much into it. Can't quite figure out if love is like a crosswalk or four-way stop. Who got there first? Whose turn is next? Is that light red too long? Can it be broken? It's hard to read the signs. I thought you had glittering eyes when first met. They were shiny like that. Slow handshakes, long walks, tight-ass hugs makes it too easy to misread the signs. Maybe love should stand high on brick pedestals like statues with words carved underneath, I love you from me, signature Laura Wright. Or maybe love should be slightly raised on railroad tracks or cardboard or sheets of truth, bumpy like braille. Run my hands across your heart. Repeat the words and the rhythmic pulse beats of your soul and know it beats for me. Or maybe love should be outstanding like policemen in squad cars with sirens blaring loudly and lights glowing. Something impossible to be uncertain about, you see me. Come to me, see, I made new signs for you. Rolled out my toolbox, lit the furnace, forged out of inanimate and animate objects alike. Wrote I love you across the sky with clouds, paid the angels to forever hold them in place. Gave birds your song and your address so they would follow you around and you would know for sure I love you where you stand. See my locks? Cause then my locks can't cut them now. Wrote a verse on each strand of hair so you can read the words and never mistake the signs of love for like, lust, or anything similar. Gave my mother your phone number. Turned mine off for days and hoped that she would call you looking for me and relay the message I gave to her. If ever she needs to find me, I'll be somewhere lost in your love. You see me? I made new signs for you. Placed them in my footprints, so everywhere I stepped, there your name would appear tagged on grass, dirt, carpet, and concrete. Bright colors of Cupid's heart and arrow with I love you, stomped in the middle of it by giants. You could see it from the sky. Had Picasso paint your picture on the inside of my eyelids, so every morning when I awake, your smile would be the first I see. Rolled you over naked, set your back for wings, ran my fingers through your hair to try and find how halos stay in place, but maybe, since maybe I misread the signs. Maybe your smile was only because you're beautiful. Maybe your touch was so soft because of all that shea butter you wrapped your hands in nightly. Or maybe I should always wear my glasses so I could see things so much clearer. But maybe, I'm saying just maybe, there were no signs to read. Maybe I finally believe that God answered the prayers I prayed as a child. You see, I never asked God to be able to read the signs. Every night, on my knees, with eyes closed, I pray that God would send me someone just like you.
Oh, that is so beautiful. Now that is, oh, my God, that should be a song somewhere. Are you serious? That is.
Appreciate it.
Huh?
I said appreciate it, yeah.
That is beautiful. So you didn't give us your name. Your name is?
My name is A.J. Houston.
Huh?
A.J. Houston.
AJ Houston. AJ, you're good. You're real good. And I'm going to tell people that you are the Fort Worth Poetry Slam team coach, a poet, an author, and a motivational speaker.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm saying we do a lot of work with kids, and see, the most amazing thing is that when you talk to kids, you know, at alternative schools or wherever,
right,
and you talk to them and you present it, you know, because I always say, how many rappers out there, how many people, you know, and I say, okay, what's up, you know, give me something, and I'm saying, no, give me something that you could say in school, because so often we have so many vulgar songs on the radio that's the only way that they think you can make it in the rap game.
Really?
So I say, give me something you can say in school. And I say, you know, and I do tongue twisters with them, do whatever. And I'm like, okay, what kind of piece do I want to hear? I got probably whatever kind of piece they're looking for.
So have hundreds of pieces?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Probably more than that, but yeah. Because I know at one time my buddy used to laugh because I told him I had almost 500 of my pieces memorized.
So what is the name of your book?
Which one?
Ooh.
Okay, my first book title is Counting Petals. No, my first book was Anchored in Prose.
Can it be found
Anchored
on Amazon?
No, I'm actually rebuilding my website, but I have it up there. My first book is Anchored in Prose,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a collection of, you know, prose poems and whatever. My
mm-hmm.
second book was Counting Petals, which is a compilation of love poetry. And
wow.
See, love isn't always the holding hands, skipping down the street kind of love. So, you know, when you pull that flower out and you say, hey, she love me, she love me not, she love me, she love me, it might stop on she love me not. You know, you got to be ready for whichever.
Right.
And the third book was Just Flow. That was like my dedication to slam. And it was, I guess, I was paying homage because so often people want us to come out and perform in different places. And they just want you to come and perform. They don't want to give you a stipend or a donation or gas money, but you come in to make their event. But they don't want you to come and just flow. Yeah, come and just flow, man. We want poets. Just come and just flow. We light the candles for you, you know. And that's not good enough. And then the next book was Sunday Shoes. And Sunday Shoes is actually probably my favorite book. Because in every book I have an introduction. And it took me so long to write the introduction on Sunday Shoes, and I was just really happy with it. You know, the outcome of the introduction that, you know, because I tell you every poem is my favorite poem. I'm going to write it until I think it lives by itself.
Really?
And my last book was Refrigerator After Opening, which I like that one too. Because I actually came up with the concept in the store. We were, you know, I was walking around the store shopping for my sons and everybody. And I'm looking at all these items, but if you look at the bottle in small print on the bottom, it has what? Refrigerator After Opening.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Right.
So I was thinking that when all these people was telling us to dream big, you can accomplish whatever you want to. Nobody told us that we might have to refrigerate it after opening because we might have to let it grow or let it simmer or wait till we catch up with it.
Wow.
And that was something that was never told us. So that's what refrigerate after opening is the understanding that, you know, because I use an analogy of Michael Jordan when he was cut from a basketball team. I say, you know, he went home and put his basketball in the refrigerator. But his parents didn't understand why every time they opened the refrigerator door, there was a basketball in the refrigerator. But they eventually understood he was keeping it fresh till it became ripe.
Really?
And, you know, Bill Gates used to work at IBM and a couple other places. So when he left and he started his own business in his garage, everybody was coming up, man, you crazy. He was going to Harvard, too.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you crazy. So, but he was working in his garage, so just imagine him having this big, giant refrigerator in the back of his garage so everybody peeped in there. Didn't understand why there was a refrigerator in the garage because he was keeping all his dreams fresh. It became ripe and he could display them.
So he literally put his dreams in a refrigerator?
No, I'm saying, but this is the concept that the book is based on,
gotcha.
Is that somebody should have told us to hold on to what we had because it may not be ready today.
Wow. That's true. That's very true. I love to read that one. Since you say that's your favorite, I'm sure it's very interesting.
And I'm trying to finish the one now. It's called Making It. And it has Making It. And it has me on the cover. I'm about 85% finished. It has me on the cover with my pockets turned inside out, and I'm standing on the corner of downtown Fort Worth with a sign that says, "Whispered for food, books and CDs, $10 need to feed my seed."
Wait a minute.
So that Make It. It's a whispered for food, books and CDs, $10. Need to feed my seeds.
Ooh.
But it's showing that making it, we all hustling. Whether you're a millionaire, you're hustling.
That's true.
Whether it's the rapper talking about he's hustling and he don't hot team no more because he's making millions, he's just lying on the song.
Mm.
But we all hustling.
One way or another.
So making it is not the spinners and the car that they loan you to shoot in the video.
Right.
Or the plane that you just go to the airport and pay somebody a couple thousand so you can have a party on the plane and not even go in the air. So the video looks cool and act like it's your plane. Something. Making it is the concept of what you're trying to do because it's going to take all that. But also in the book is stories to everybody I can remember in my life because my pastor's wife, when I was like 8 years old, gave all the boys the poem If by Rudyard Kipling and the girls the poem Don't Quit, Author Unknown. And when she gave me that poem, I looked at it. That was the best thing, the dopest thing I've ever read in my life. So I memorized it that day, and I've never had to look at that poem again, and I still remember it.
Well, share it with us.
But If by Rudyard Kipling. Okay. You put me on the spot. Let me see if you still know. Okay.
But you still remember it.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. But see, the thing is when I went to college and I was reading it, I started looking at, studying English poets and everything. I just read the story of Rudyard Kipling, and he wrote the poem If to his son that was handicapped.
Mm-hmm.
His son had polio in one leg, but one leg is shorter than the other.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, it'll bring to mind, in essence, what the whole poem is about.
Okay.
It says, let me see, I'm trying to remember. It says, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied on, don't deal in lies, or being hated, but don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again into your beginnings and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart, nerve, and sinew to serve their term long after they're gone, and hold on when there's nothing in you except the will that says to them, hold on. If you could walk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foe nor friend can hurt you, if all men count with you but none too much. That's it. If you can feel that unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, then yours is the earth and everything in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, a son. And I may have left some out, but that's in essence, that's it.
Wow. And that was the first poem you ever read.
Yeah, that was by Rudyard Kipling. That was the first poem I was given. I'm saying, because, I tell everybody every school I go to, Dr. Seuss is my favorite author. Now, straight up, I'm saying, just think of this. 90% of the American populace learn to read by having read to them books of Dr. Seuss.
Okay.
Only when we go to school and we think we got a little knowledge, we start liking Thoreau and Emerson and Zora Neale and Langston. But
right.
What got us interested in words was Dr. Seuss. And when you think about it, when I say the Cat in the Hat, what comes to mind?
Dr. Seuss?
Yeah, when I say the Cat in the Hat, the big old hat come to mind, don't it?
Right.
You see that hat on his head?
Right.
But I'm saying, see, Dr. Seuss created everything from nothing.
Hmm.
That's hard.
Yeah.
I'm saying, that is hard to create everything from nothing. And the problem is everybody remember what it was, but you created it. Now, now the image or the sound comes with a picture in your mind.
This is true.
That you created.
Hmm.
And who's the call of writer?
Dr.
Neale, Langston, Thoreau, Emerson, I'm saying, Mike Eric Dyson.
Mm-mm.
I'm saying, Dr. Seuss is the bomb.
So you're trying to say all the poetry we just heard you recite that was yours, you think you got your kickstart from Dr. Seuss?
No, I'm telling you I got my kickstart from Dr. Seuss.
Yes, really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have got
that. Okay, check this out. Now, check this out. Okay. You remember the book Green Eggs and Ham, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what is Green Eggs and Ham about to you?
You see, if you put me on the spot like that, I'm going to say, I thought it was about food, but go ahead. I don't know.
It's about Sam, and he's trying to get this guy to eat some green eggs and ham. He say, I could not eat them, Sam, I am. I do not like green eggs and ham, basically, right?
Right.
But when you think about the American diaspora, the poem you read to me earlier, what is it about? It's about America looking at a color, not liking it because of the color. It's not that they don't know what a human being is. It's not that you don't know what green eggs and what ham is. The problem is it's green.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Dr. Seuss wrote a book about the American diaspora, taught it to kids, and they didn't even know what they were learning.
Hmm.
Okay. Somebody, I'm saying, because everybody I talked to, I never looked at it like that. I'm like, I don't know why. Because I'm saying he took him, you know, in a kite, in a tree, on a bus, in a plane, you know, it took him everywhere he could take him. He was like, man, I don't like green eggs and ham. I do not like them, Sam. I am, you know, leave me alone. But when he finally ate them, he said, man, this is the bomb. See, now think about America. How many white rappers do you see?
One or two.
How many young white kids do you see pants hanging off their ass because that's the coolest thing in the world right now?
A bunch of them. Yeah.
So you don't see green eggs and ham in place?
Okay.
You finally tasted it?
Okay.
Now you can't even get the green eggs and ham away from them.
Listen, AJ, are we going to make some of these other callers give us some of their poetry?
Sure.
Is 254 going to give us poetry today? If so, he's going to need to press 1 so that we can listen, because he promised me a poem today. So we're going to see if we can get him to press 1 before we put him on the spot. Anyway, 254, are you going to give us any poetry today? 254. I guess he's shy. Anyway, AJ, I guess after you, it would be kind of hard for somebody to feel comfortable. But I've heard some of 254's poetry, and it is kind of deep, and I'm surprised that they're not going to come forward and let us listen to some of what they let me listen to earlier. But, okay, we want to make them do anything they're not comfortable doing. But now you make me kind of hesitant, AJ, but I'm going to do it because I said I was going to do it. I'm not going to do the one I told you about because I think it's a little too controversial. Okay, 254 is ready. Okay, 254, you ready to give us...
Can I say one thing?
I'm sorry, go ahead, AJ.
Okay. It's my thing that I tell everybody is that every piece of poetry written is great.
Ooh,
you grow into what you do. Maybe you didn't know you had the ability until you wrote that first piece.
That's true.
But see, after you start hanging out and you get that inspiration from other places and other people, your writing changes not to their style but to fit your growth.
That's true. Oh,
don't worry about what you fit.
254, did you hear that?
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
I hear you now, yeah, I hear you now.
You going to give us some of what, what you've written?
Well, I actually, before I do that, I'd like to say thanks, AJ, for helping out today, and for
put me on the spot like that. You put me on the spot like that, yeah.
That first one in particular you did, I got to look up that on paper. That was just exceptional.
That was.
Oh, appreciate it.
Yeah, that was.
I would like to say one thing for anybody listening that if you want to hear poems like that and performances on stage, anything similar, to go to the Embargo on Tuesday nights from what is it, AJ? 8:30 to 10:30 range.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every Tuesday night in Barber, corner of 8th Street and Calhoun, 210 East 8th Street.
In Fort Worth.
That's downtown Fort Worth. And to share an experience.
Not Fort Worth,
with
California,
you,
Fort Worth, Texas now.
Yeah, right. Fort Worth, Texas.
To share an experience with you, I went there several years ago, and once I started going, I couldn't keep from going the next week. It's some of the most raw and personal pieces that I've ever heard, people sharing what their lives are like, hardships, love, all different kinds of poems, and it's some of the best stuff I've ever heard, I think.
Wow.
But I'll share one with you.
Okay.
If you'd like.
Are you going to share the one that you...
No, I'll share one that's a little more appropriate, maybe. This one's a poem I wrote. It's about how close you can be to someone, close enough to be a whisper's shadow.
You know, wait. I'm sorry. Let me back up. AJ, he let me listen to a poem that he wrote, and to me it was so deep it went over my head. But I take that back, Larry. You give them that poem. Give them that poem, because just because it was over my head, it may not be over everybody else's head.
I'm
be checking out, man. I'm be checking out.
Give me that one that you gave me, and I was like scratching my head going, I missed the whole thing. So AJ will probably give him that one.
Now, I've got one for you that's just as deep. Here we go. You ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
This one's called The Whisper Shadow. She saw the whisper shadow and heard the shadow's call. When Teardrop fell, it cast a spell on the waterfalls. She stood by the river, water flows by, the floods they came, tears from her eyes. She was the river, he was the falls. A woman knows the thoughts of just one man. She is watched or caressed by no loving or beastish eyes. Of the wet whence it flows, where her raisined heart lies, the sound of clear water cuts through the land. Of her father's father worked by his hard hand. A river always flows, it cannot die, lest stopped at the source soon dry. The bed will be parched rock and red where she stands. Will blood, thick blood, find its flow again? Oh, say, she can balance her needs and still howl. She can realize what's lost, how to stoop, give time and mend. All things flow, sweat and tears and bowels. So does blood, by the virtues her pumping heart can lend. Now she must to a love listen. Do you hear the owl? Bits and pieces, just like his heart, a river swells and tears him apart. She was the river, he was the falls. She saw the whisper shadow and heard the shadow's call. One teardrop fell, it cast a spell on the waterfalls.
Wow.
That's cool. See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. See, every piece is great. It takes you to somewhere you hadn't been yet.
No, that's true. That's true. Because that's somebody else's journey.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It takes you to a place you hadn't been yet. You say, and you just follow it. And you say, man, okay, I'm at the waterfall. Is it Niagara or over in East Texas somewhere? But I'm there.
This is true. Do you want to show it? Do you want to let us hear another one, 254?
I think that's all I want to read today. I did want to say one more thing to AJ is I like your concept of every piece. Every poem is good because it comes, whoever the writer is, it comes from something very personal and expressing yourself, and poems are meant to be shared. If you,
exactly.
share, with, if you share your poems with someone, you're sharing part of yourself. And that type of communication is something that I think everybody bonds to.
Do you want to tell us about that experience at Embargo and the lady that you talked to?
What's that on? Well, one, I'm not sure what you're referring to, but I've had experiences down there where I went to the embargo. Someone would share their experience with me, and I have written experiences. I have written from their experiences, trying to write what I felt that they shared. I do have one here I will share with you that came from. Sharing, part of it came from sharing of someone else. There's nothing more personal than someone sharing a part of them. They shared this with me. I wrote from it, and it's part of them, and it's part of me in a way. This one is called Freedom for the Children. When I was a child, I would walk a mile. Sunday to church I would go. No worries, no fears, no wars, no tears, laughter. Was all I would know. There was freedom for the children, freedom for a place to call home. No sticks, no stones will break my bones. Freedom for the children, freedom. Now I'm holding two jobs and taking care of mom, my children, two hungry mouths to feed. These shackles, these chains, this poverty of pain, my world of wars as I bleed. There was freedom for the children, freedoms and rights, the right to vote, the right to bear arms, inalienable rights of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And there was the Bill of Rights addressing the freedoms of speech, the freedom to press, and the freedom that no one can contain, the freedom to have a dream. Put all this together and you've got freedom for the children. Down by the river where I will pray for the right to be free, for a life to be saved. I will be a martyr for a son, for a daughter. Like Lincoln, Kennedy, and King. These scars inside, for the wars I fight, my wounds will never be seen. There was freedom for the children, freedom for my country, for my home. No sticks, no stones will break my bones. Freedom for the children.
Wow. Wow, that's beautiful, too.
because, you know, and a lot of times, like that piece, it started out, it was about a person's struggle with their kids to keep everything going, and a struggle with purpose. And then you could see the problem in the American Constitution that didn't have all the words needed, and we had to add some more later. You know, through the King and the Lincoln and all the other people that thought they were doing what was best for America, that America wasn't really ready to accept at that time. So I like the piece for sure.
Wow, I'm gonna do one, and I feel like, wow, such a rookie after you guys, because I am no. It just lets me know how far I have to go. This one is called Ghetto Boy. It says, I'm only 12, but they say I came here grown. Mom already had 5 kids of her own. Many times she was so sprung, she left us home alone. Had to learn early how to survive to avoid the foster homes. Girls my age, sometimes having babies, they don't know nothing about being ladies. I don't know why they haven't come here. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know why they haven't grown up so fast. Their mamas being grandmamas at 30, I guess it's repeating the past. I know a street degree don't come free. Seen death and destruction since I was on my mama's knee. In the hood, there is always shooting almost every day. Too often, though, the bullets seem to go astray. One killed my friend Slim, who somehow got in the way. So now around the gang blocks, we no longer play. The houses are all covered with bars. Almost every yard has some old broke-down cars. Grown children never left home, now turn rock stars. To find pain and suffering, I don't have to look far. Wannabe pimps slapping women around, trying to get paid. Johns picking up tricks, trying to get laid. Meanwhile, my community is running rampant with AIDS. I once kneeled unto God. I said these words as I prayed. Is this what you meant for us? When from earth man was made? Because if so, my vision of hope has just begun to fade. That's Ghetto Boy. Oh, don't y'all get quiet on me. What's that?
No, nice. I had to put my phone on mute for a second because I was walking in the other parts of the house and there was noise. So okay. No, but I like the piece, and see, the thing is I love the flow of the piece and the calmness of the piece about something so detrimental to us.
Mm.
Because mine, I got some of those, but
really,
but one of those I'm writing right now, Tyler's my nigga.
Ooh.
And I'm writing for my nephew just got 10 years.
Ooh.
For slanging rocks.
Wow.
And I got another nephew that's getting ready to go to court sometimes. I think his court date is like in January. But he'll probably get some time too.
Whoa.
But it's the fact that you have all these positive people in their lives, but they chose not to listen.
A different path.
So that's why the poem is entitled My Nigga, because that's where I say, my nigga, what up, man? What up, my nigga? So I wrote it for them so they can hear it, but they ain't going to really like what it says.
Wow.
And, you know, a lot of times you have to talk to people where they are.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, sometimes people don't really like it when you come that close to home, but you're just talking about experience. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's somebody's journey, somebody's experience. Can you give us a little bit of it, or is it not complete yet?
Oh, no. It's complete.
Oh, give it
to me. It's complete. Okay, but we're on Blog Talk Radio.
And
I'm Blog Talk Radio, Isma, and I just want you to know that.
And I'm encouraged.
You asked for it, see?
Okay. Well, just know that he's saying this for the effect that he's trying to send a message to his nephews, who he's very concerned about, and he's trying to talk to them at a level in which he thinks they'll comprehend where he's coming from.
Okay. Now I have a friend of mine that's working on a beat for it because I want this real funky beat. I want a mystical beat behind it, but it's a little too fast. I want to say,
okay.
You keep bumping me against the wall. You know, if you ain't seen me, trust me, you ain't seen bouncing back. But anyway,
ooh.
It started off to say, you know, we all say we ain't niggas. So why we still act the part? It's a damn shame because everybody got game, but we still be niggas at heart. I'm saying just a few years ago, we were mourning at the cemetery. The word nigga was dead. But that was before we had shit and way before that swag shit. Now we keep nigga in head. Too many songs has vulgarities, but you can't fit it in school, so I guess it's a cop out of 50% dropout because he'd rather stay fools. Remember back in the day, there was a radio edit for every song you heard, and it won't be long before every rap song is required to have 3 cuss words before the verb. You know, we all say we ain't niggas, so why we still act the part?
Mm-hmm.
the damn thing because everybody got game, but we still be niggas at heart. I'm saying we have fatherless sons leaving fatherless sons, so we keep multiplying the problem by a million to one. You know, I heard 80-year-old man say the other day how much his life would have changed if his father had just been home. See, being without a father is like staying home alone. See, there's nothing bad about mothers, for they taught us to be strong. But you're so much less than a man, you're just a voice inside a phone. You know, we all say we ain't niggas. So why you still act the part? You know, it's a damn shame because everybody got gang. You know, we still be niggas at heart. Yo, son, I bet you thought your legs would always be moving real fast. And I bet you thought the popos would never catch up with that ass. And I bet you thought you'd always have that swag and a pocket full of cash. But it's impossible to raise your seed sitting on the other side of that glass. Yeah, we all say we ain't niggas. So why you still like the part? It's a damn shame because everybody got game, but we still be niggas at heart. See, we'd rather live on the opposite side of consciousness, but as for me, I keep a tight grip on reality. Problem B, it ain't for the faint-hearted. From the words of my dearly departed, see, I laugh and I talk, but I'll be damned if I play. And maybe you think these are just words to say. So consider me 9 months pregnant with a poem due today. So either rush me to my pen and pad or get the hell out of my way. You know, we all say we ain't niggas. Why we still act the part? That's a damn thing because everybody got game. We still be niggas at heart. Now, how many young girls every night cries themselves to sleep? And how many young boys, it was their decision to just take it to the streets? And how many men through life battles forgot their promises to keep? So back up from the stage, you can't take the fucking heat. You know, we all say we ain't niggas. So why we still act the part? It's a damn thing because everybody got game, but we still be niggas at heart. See, danger, danger. We're under construction here. We can't accept your fix-it plan. There's too many walks of life from ideas to fit into your hands. See, my ancestors broke their backs while they were toiling on this land. I'm going to teach them to be strong so they can be a woman or a man. See, I'm going to change that father ain't. So they would know that fathers can. You know, we all say we ain't niggas. So why we still act the part? The damn thing, because everybody got game. But we still be niggas at heart.
Whoa. That is, I would say, off the chain. and so you're going to present this to them at some point?
Oh, I'm putting it on my CD. It's going to be a rap song on my CD.
Wow.
So I said, that's why I call it My Niggas in the background. It's going to say, my niggas, you know, with the heavy, heavy beat that you really ain't listening to the lyrics to.
Wow.
And then you're going to have the other little part, a little background singing, but that's going to be the poem on top of it.
Whoa. That is beautiful. So y'all make me serious. Like, oh, God, I look at my stuff and go, well, I may need to go back to the drawing table. I mean, because your stuff is long, but it all rhymes and flows and it's just connected so well.
Just keep writing. Just keep writing. That's all you do. You don't have to worry about it. You grow in the process. See, if you never eat, never drink water,
yeah,
you would starve your body so you wouldn't grow.
Right.
Same go with your pen hand.
Right.
If you ain't working your pen hand, it ain't gonna grow.
Wow. See, you know what? Someone from 817-716 wants to say something. Hold on. 817-716, you're on the line.
Yes, hello? Can you hear?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I forgot my question. Let me call back.
Okay. All right. So, and I agree. You got to work on whatever it is you do. I agree with that. You gotta have some type of, you know, repetition. I'm sure kind of develops your skill. Is that what you're saying?
The thing is, write down whatever on your mind. Because a lot of times you might want it to be a poem, but
right.
It's not. It may just be a thought. You know, because I spent 2 months trying not to write poetry.
Really?
Because I say I was just going to write little shorts. Because in my book, Making It, I'm putting shorts throughout the book.
Wow.
So I have one short that says, and the short says, can't we start over? White picket fence only, no house. Feel that from the molecules of love we share kiss by kiss, strong like ink and nail, storm and breakup proof. And that was it.
Really?
But everything should be a completed thought.
Everything should be a completed thought.
Yeah, but and my teacher in high school told me a poem should not say but be. And every time she told me that, I thought I understood what it meant. But every day I learned more of what it means.
Mm.
because, you know, to get up and say, okay, I wrote this poem about this, I wrote this poem about that. If I don't get that from the poem, you didn't write the poem about that.
Wow. See, you know what? And I was about to do one of my very first, when I first started writing, that was called The Down Low Brother, but I know I probably offend a whole
bunch. No, do it, and I'll do one of my first ones.
Well, you know what? Now, this is one of my very first AJs, so y'all have to forgive me for the rookiness of this poem, but the meat of it is still what it is. It's called
Don't
The Down
Low Brother. Don't worry about it. We're ready.
It says, why are you standing in the middle of the street, confused about who you want between the sheets? Without both, you somehow feel incomplete. So for now, you'll just continue to cheat until the day your two lives collide and meet, or the day you decide you no longer need sugar because you're already sweet. So you chase the thrill of being on the down low, caught up in the excitement of pushing things as far as they will go, taking secret trips to the clubs that display the rainbow, in search of that third one-night stand in a row. All the while the wife's at home, not knowing, not being in the know. The fact you only deal with Mr. Feel Good, my friend, is a sad commentary, I won't pretend. See, you don't care where these men have been. As long as it feels good, you're going to do it again. Stop doing my sister this way, I plead. You're the kind of brother we don't need. Don't know what you want, all the while spreading your seed, acting like you the head at the same time you can't lead. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. With the life you live in, you won't live half your days. All we can do is somehow pray that when God sends down his wrath, the sister won't have to pay. Like I said, brand new, just writing, just,
well, see,
you know.
And that's still a problem in the community. You have brothers on the down low afraid to come forth and tell the truth.
Yes.
So that's really what the poem is all about. So that's, in essence, still relative to now, and that's what you want to write, something that's relative to tomorrow.
Yes. Today and tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, you don't want to write something that has cliches in it, and they didn't see the movie, or they don't know the song, and they don't know what you're talking about.
This is true. Okay, AJ, we got 2 minutes. Give me one of your best ones you got.
Okay, so I was going to give you one of my early ones. This
give me
is one of my
early
ones.
Okay.
Tyler Slangin. He said, every morning I wake up, I find I'm still addicted to these words. So I got to go out on the street corners and treat them like dope, pushing books like weight, pushing CDs like weight. But the only thing I have to offer you is this. Got them words, got them words, got them words, got them words, got them words. Yeah. Got them words, got them words, got them words, got them words, got them words. Got them words, got them words, got them words, got them words, got them words. Yeah. Got them words, got them words, got them words, got them words, got them words. Yo, what's up, man? I got them words, man. I got them words. Now, kid, I got them words, got them words. While everybody else is slinging drugs, you say I'm slinging verbs. Now, kid, what's up, man? Now, what's up? I got them words, man. I got them words. Seriously, I got them words, I got them words. While everybody else is slinging drugs, you say I'm slinging verbs. Now, you use a hand that's hard to get to places, finding people strolling aimlessly with no smiles on their faces. But every now and then, but every evening, I'll be hanging in those big mile parking lots. So I got a year real loud, so we better know what I got. Yo, kid, I got them words, man. I got them words. Yeah, I got them words. I got them words. While everybody else is slanging drugs, you see, I'm slanging verbs. And every now and then, I run across someone who's feeling blue. I got them smiles and I hit a lot. You see, I roll that way too, because ain't no blunder, no joint on the hit of that rock will make you feel any better than these words that I got. Man, I got them words, man. I got them words. Now, kid, I got them words. I got them words. Well, everybody else is slanging drugs. You see, I'm slanging verbs. Oh, no, man. You think an 8-ball hitter trying to run it mainstream? I got them one-hitter quitters that'll have you tossing your dreams. See, that stuff you said is going to bring you fame. Maybe some corns, but that stuff would destroy your mind. Try these metaphoric phrases. This one hitter be right on time. I got them uncut haikus and a pocket full of pure sonnets. I suppose you know these bags of our prose, man. It's off the hook, man. You better get on it, man. Got them words, got them words, got them words, got them words, got them words. Yeah. Got them words, got them words, got them words, got them words, got them words. Yo, son, I got them words, got them words. While everybody else is slanging drugs, I'm slanging verbs.
Love that. Love that. Y'all, that's going to have to be the last word. AJ, love you today. Honest to God, loves your poetry. 254, Larry, we loved you as well. This is going to conclude another segment of Center Stage. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, I'm at www.twitter.com/Carrie Hines. Thank you, and have a good evening.